Well, welcome to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. We hope that you've had a good week and that you're ready this morning to hear a very thought-provoking message from God's Word. Now, Pastor Reynolds asked last week if you're ready to stand before God. And this week, he'll be discussing hell, which is where you're bound if you're lost and you're not ready to stand before God. So without any further delay, here is Pastor Reynolds.
Just a little bit ago, I was reading in my Bible. In Luke chapter number 16, verse 24, the rich man and his calamity, that's what I was reading about. The Bible says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames." You know, today, there's little mention made of hell. Some people don't even believe there is a hell. Some who do believe there is a hell really don't believe what the Bible says about it. But this man, this was a rich man who fared sumptuously every day. The Bible said he had everything that heart could wish. And yet, this man is now in the flames of eternal judgment. Today there is a place called hell. The Bible says that it is a place of eternal punishment. Many people are going to that terrible, terrible place, a place of fire. There is no escape from that at all. I think it would be good to compare hell to a house on fire and someone in that house. And they're trying to escape, but there's no escape. Instead, that person dies in the flames of that house. You know, a lot of people today, they make fun of hell. Years ago, I read a Bible tract which stated there was a nightclub called hell. Now, I really don't know if there was ever a nightclub called hell or not. But people would brag about going down to hell and having a good time. You know, I don't know if that nightclub ever operated or not. But there's nothing fun about hell at all. People try to make light of hell because they know that hell is a terrible place indeed. I think that people try to make light of hell, trying to make that a little bit more acceptable in their own sight. But just one second after death, when they find themselves in hell, there will be no joking about hell. And it'll be too late then to trust Christ. It'll be too late then to not go there. Who actually sends people to hell? The Bible states in the book of Matthew 10, verse number 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You see, Satan desires that everybody would go to hell. There's a great battle today between God and Satan, and we are caught in the middle of all this. Satan desires that we might go to hell, but Satan has no power to send anybody to hell. He has no power at all. The power lies in the one that has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Satan, however, he has no power at all, but he does everything that he can do to take men's minds off of their sinful condition and their eternal condemnation. Revelation 1, verse 8 states this about Christ having the keys of hell. The Bible says, "I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." I think one of the things that causes people not to believe in hell is because they just can't believe that a loving God would send anybody to such a place. It is true that God is a God of love and is long-suffering to usward. not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's very true. But it is also true that God is a holy God, and that He is just, and that He is right, and that God is a God of great vengeance. I think that God is such a God of love that we cannot understand how He could ever even love us and save us from an eternal judgment. But I think sometimes that we can't understand as well that God's vengeance is a terrible, most terrible vengeance. Notice, Hebrews 10, verse 30 and 31 states, "For we know Him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people." Then the Bible states in verse number 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Listen, this is what's going to happen one of these days. When people reject Jesus Christ as their only personal Savior, and then they face judgment at the very hand of the one they've refused to accept as their own personal Savior. Romans 2 and verse 23 declares, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen, God will, He must punish sin. You will either pay for your own sinfulness or accept that Jesus Christ paid for your own sinfulness on the cross of Calvary, because He loves us so much that He gave His own Son to die for us. We either believe that or we don't. I mean, there's just two ways to go with that. Either you trust Christ or you don't. I mean, that's it. Why would God send people to hell? 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9 proclaims this fact. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Notice again what this verse says. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God and from the glory of His power." This passage clearly explains that people go to hell because they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. People are sent to hell because they're lost sinners and they reject the only way of salvation, and that way is revealed in Jesus Christ. Just this past week, I spoke to a young man who explained to me that he had no doubt at all that he would go to heaven when he died. I asked him, "How do you know that?" He told me this. He based his assumption on the fact that he hadn't murdered anybody, that he hadn't knowingly cheated anybody, or willingly done anything wrong. This young man had tried to live a good, honest life, treating people right, and expecting to be treated right in return. On the downside, this young man could not remember the last time he had even been in a worship service. This young man did not even know what the Bible says about how to get to heaven, or what the Bible says about why people go to hell. This young man did not believe what Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, this young man didn't believe he was actually a sinner in the eyes of God. He did not believe he was even born in sin, that sin had passed to him from his dad. You see, this young man did not understand that the sin that he was involved in was a sin that has infected every human being born into this world. This is a sin that will cause all humans to be cast into an everlasting hell unless Jesus Christ has forgiven them and their sins are washed in his own pure blood. I mean, that's the way it is. Notice what Paul said in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ arose again the third day by the power of God. Jesus Christ did not die for his sins. He didn't have any sins, but Jesus Christ died for our sins. This is the gospel message. This is the message that must be received to be saved from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ also said in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Listen to what Acts 4 verse 12 states. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, if you want God to send you to hell, then you need to keep on doing what you're doing. You need to continue to see yourself as a righteous in your own eyes. Continue to believe that you are not a sinner before a most holy God. And God will send you to an everlasting destruction. How long does hell last? In the book of Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus said this, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. How long will hell last? For eternity. How long will heaven last? For all eternity. Here's the thing, that we live upon this life for just a short time. But what we do here, whether we accept Christ or whether we reject him, tells where we're going to spend our eternity. Somebody else would say, well, my friends will all go to hell, and I will go there with them. The Bible informs us in Luke 16, verse 24, that's where we started out this message, of the rich man who lived the life of sin and rejected Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. You see, death comes to all, and the rich man was no exception. After he died, he saw Lazarus, a poor man he had known while he was living, being comforted in Abraham's bosom. The rich man wanted to help others, but it was too late. The rich man had no desire at all for his brothers to come to hell and be with him. Hell is not going to be a place of fun, but rather it is a place of eternal destruction by fire. It's a place of complete darkness. I beg of you to flee from the wrath that is to come by repenting that you are a sinner and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible states in the book of Acts 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
You know, as Pastor Reynolds' closing comments indicated, there is a way of escape, but you have to know there's only one way, and that way is to see your wicked condition before God, to repent of what you are, and to believe on him. Believe that he has offered you forgiveness and eternal life, and believe that he truly is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. And you know, each week I talk about our church's website, and I mention that there are many different books and articles that are available. Well, today's very message is from one of those tracks on that website. So if you haven't been to IndependenceBaptist.org, please do so today. Log on to www.IndependenceBaptist.org and read some of those articles. Listen to some of those revival services. And if you're able to, come and see us. We're at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we're going to be there this morning starting at 10 o'clock, and we would love to see you there. Well, looking at the clock, I can see that just as our life is but a vapor, so is our time with you this morning. And as much as I hope that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m., life is short, and be sure that you're ready to stand before God, because you may not be able to join us next week.